We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray, let us pray, everywhere and every way, every moment of the day.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm your host this morning, Tina Dobbs, and our guest this morning is Jason Mung. How are you this morning?
I'm good. How about you?
I'm doing great. Good to see you this morning.
Yeah, you too.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. You can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get those uploaded shortly after the program has ended. Our Facebook sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. Please remember to like, share, and comment to let us know you're joining us, even if it's the replay. I think I covered it all. Mm-hmm. Would you like to pray to start us out?
You bet. So, Father, we just thank you for your word. God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Father, we just thank you for this time that we have just to set aside on purpose to discuss the things of you, Father, to build up and to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Father, I just thank you for your Holy Spirit, Father, who speaks from within. God, bring forth your word today, Father, to uplift us, encourage us, and give us direction as we move forward in a relationship with you. Father, we just thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. I like your title. Don't fear, follow.
That's right. Don't fear, follow. So I just kind of... I had two or three subjects kind of floating around in my head this morning. And like I told you when I got here, I'm still not sure exactly where we're going to land. So I'm just going to kind of be pulling notes, or basically my highlights. Kind of stuff that God's just been showing me and talking to me about over the last few weeks. Just about moving forward. What, you know, we look at today's current times and like we talked about last week, things kind of seem to be going further south. At this moment, when we look at our economy and wars and the rumors of wars, mm-hmm. all these things that are happening, you know, I see when we look into Scripture, we see these things playing out prophetically in the Scripture that it is talked about. We see those things happening, and I see one of two responses to that. The first one is fear, mm-hmm. and the other one is a follow. And so I want to talk about those things and understand that we do have a choice in that. And so today, you know, I've titled that, Don't Fear, But Let's Follow. So in that place, what is, life can bring us just fears in the everyday, day-to-day stuff, right? If we allow those things to become our focus, to overwhelm us, to set in with fear and anxiety and worry and all those places, well, what that does is it takes our focus off of following Christ. They take our attention away. And, you know, I get it. Sometimes there'll be things that happen in tragedy or trauma that require immediate attention in the flesh. But even in those places, allowing God to move in those moments right then, right there. Because if we're not careful, we'll want to grab hold of the reins when trauma shows up, right? Mm-hmm. And say, I got this. What can I do to control the situation to not let it get any worse? Instead of understanding the truth of the word that tells us to what? Cast those cares upon him, to give those things. Yeah, this is something that may feel big, overwhelming suddenly. But in that moment, God, I give it to you. Because I know in this moment, I'm going to be thinking in emotions and in chaos and all of this thing. That's why what we've been talking about over the last few times we've been here is getting ourselves grounded in the Word of God. So when those things do show up, as the Word is written on the inside of you, then you can walk that out. It's an application of it. You know, people, I always try to explain to people, when you tell people read the Word, again, that kind of comes from two different places. It can come from a place of a religious checkbox, or it can come from a place of, I need to know him more. I need to know who I am more. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as I tell my people, you have to get into the Word of God to know who God is, but you have to get into the Word of God to know who you are. Because the world has been teaching you since the day of your birth an identity that is not your own, right? An identity that is something that they have tried to force down our throats, that they have tried to mold and make us culturally in our minds, right, through media, TV, all of these things. They have tried to fashion the way that we see things, the way that we think about things, and the way that we see and think about things then become the actions of how we walk it out. But if we are grounding ourselves in the Word of God, then we see this is who God's created us to be, right? And we go look. I've been in the four Gospels. God just kind of take me back to Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John over this last 2 weeks. And I just see in that moment again just an example that Jesus set for us as to what our lives should look like as we walk this out. Because even as we read through his life, you know, each one of the Gospels basically gives an account of his ministry into his death and the resurrection. But as we see him walking through the miraculous, you know, even in those Gospels, the very ministry of Jesus was opened up. It takes account of the water to wine at the wedding at Canaan, right? So we see those things. That's Jesus' ministry opening up, and we get so excited about those minutes. But then you go on down the line as you go through the Gospels, and it ultimately ends in his death. And so it wasn't that Jesus' life was without turmoil as well. But we've seen him walk in the power and the authority that he was given to by God. And the picture that we should gather from those stories is, that's mine too, right? The being joint heirs with Christ, those things that Jesus himself called us to, these things that I do, greater things you guys are going to do. He wasn't discounting, well, unless life shows up, or, you know, or unless this happens in your life, if the economy falls in your face, or your IRA goes from big zeros to no zeros. You know, it doesn't matter what happens in our life. We allow those things to become the most important thing instead of realizing, wait a minute, there's a grounding that I have here. There's a solid foundation that I stand on that no matter what's happening around me, it doesn't change. It doesn't change who I am. It doesn't change who God is within me, right? And one of the scriptures that I always love is God has given us not the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and of self-control, right? And that self-control, it's not this, I'm big enough, I've exercised it well enough that now I can walk in it. It's a submission to God so he can then take first seat in your life in that place so that when chaos or trauma does show up, right, then that place of, God didn't give me a spirit of fear, so I'm not going to go there, but I'm going to walk this thing out in love, power, and self-control. What is self-control? Self-control is a walking, because we know emotions, they're real, right? And a lot of people will try to kind of default to that. Well, God gave us these emotions. Well, yeah, he gave you some emotions, but it wasn't the ones that Adam gave you that we were born into, right? Those are the ones that we were trained up into in this world. Those are the ones that we were born with. But there's a better way, and Jesus shows us that. Jesus dealt with emotions too, right? Again, reading through the four Gospels, the story of Lazarus is in there. And there's a particular part of that story where it says, when they approached him, and they said, hey, Jesus, Lazarus is sick. And he said, well, we're just going to tarry here for a minute. He knew what God's will was in the situation, right? He knew that Lazarus was going to die. As a matter of fact, he had to hang out where he was so that that could come to pass. And then Lazarus did die, and then he goes and he shows up on the scene. Well, one of the things that it's always kind of hit me in the humanity of Jesus was in that place when they sold him. If you would have only been here, both of his sisters, right? If you had only been here. And Jesus' heart broke for their heart being broken. The shortest scripture in the Bible, Jesus wept, right? He empathized with their pain that they were going through, the emotions that they had made. And matter of fact, he was experiencing those himself. Lazarus was his friend, right? And sometimes we miss that. We want to set Jesus up on this pedestal of the Godhead and think, well, he just walked in the power of God so he could do all of these things. And the scripture is very clear about that. It says that he laid aside all deity, right? He set that aside and he humbled himself as a servant, just like you and me. He walked in humanity, just like you and me. But what he showed us was that you can walk in this humanity empowered by this Holy Spirit, which he is very clear about that again in the Gospels, that when he left, then that Holy Spirit, the Advocate, was now sent back for us to walk us through this thing. All we have to do is default to that and not keep our place on the throne of our life, right? Because when we're keeping our place on ourselves on the throne of our life, what we do is we're giving way to those things that have been trained into us culturally, or whatever else, those outside sources that it came from, outside of the truth of the Word of God. That's why it's so important, as I always encourage people, get into the Word. Get grounded into the Word so that you know who God is to you, but then also who God is through you, through your life. And that is a picture that we see through the Holy Spirit in Jesus, man. Just to see him walk in the power and the authority. And, you know, it's kind of, we see him walk through those things first, and then he kind of comes to the great trial of his life, right? But understand that that doesn't matter, because sometimes what we see is, well, we're going to walk through the great trial of our life before the end of our life comes, right? But again, he was a great example of to that, of saying, this is what that oneness looks like, you know, like I just feed, actually, I'm not quite done. I'm in the latter part of John right now, where we're getting into being one in Christ, and him being the vine and us being the branches, and those are things. And I've been there before. I love that, because it brings such a peace and security to know. I mean, even the picture of the vine and the branches, it is the vine that gives us support, not the branch, right? We are supported by the vine. And that is a place, as we're talking about today, is that we can walk from a place of not fearing, but just following, allowing the Holy Spirit to lead our lives in whatever that looks like in the current situation that we're going through. And sometimes, you know, we even, if we're not careful, we will tend to make this gospel such a me-motivated gospel, you know, like, oh, I see the truth of that, and that's all for me. Yes, it is. It is for you. For you what? For you to give it away, right? It's for you to experience in your life and then to give it away through your testimony, through your life that's lived before men, so that they see, dude, like, you know, we live in small towns around here, right? And even this radio broadcast, it's reaching several small towns. Mm-hmm. Everybody knows everybody's business. You know, that's just part of small town Western Oklahoma. You just know what's going on. So you know that so-and-so is going through this, that, or the other in their life. You already know that stuff, right? And if you will exemplify Christ in that, they can say, dude, like, this guy's going through a divorce that he didn't want. And then, but look the way his life is shining in this moment. He's not just beat down and overwhelmed and defeated and all of those things. The strength of Christ is still in him, and he's walking this out. Or that guy just lost his job the other day, and he's got four kids at home. Like, we know all of those things, but yet we see men's lives living according to the Word of God and who he is in them becomes a testimony to those that are around us, right? It's an encouragement. It's a building up. Again, this gospel, if we're not careful, we can make this all about us, about God's blessings for me, about God's provision for me, about God's protection for me, all of those things. And if we're not careful, we'll put me on the throne of the recipient of this grace of God, and it becomes twisted. Right? We got to be careful in that. Or the opposite is walking in the fear of those things. Just when you've lost your job, oh gosh, I'm overwhelmed. I had that job for 20 years. How am I ever going to interview again and find another job, or all of those things? We let life come in with its movement of pieces and just let it shamble our lives if we're not careful, because we're not founded and have a solid foundation on the truth of God's word, right? And so that's just kind of some of the things I want to talk about today is what does that look like in our life? How do we remain grounded in who Christ is? And my number one thing in that is get into his word, right? You have to get into his word. And I always kind of joke with people, you know, they'll say, well, I don't really hear God. And I say, well, then read the Bible out loud. Then you're hearing God, right? Because this is his word. He's speaking through that. And I know there's, you know, sometimes it just feels like I'm just reading words. I get it, you know. But again, in that moment, am I just focusing on, oh, this just feels like words. You know, I'm not getting any great epiphanies. I'm not getting any great encouragement. I'm not doing this or that. Again, that's why we need to know the truth of the word, because it says that as we read this thing, that God writes it on the tablet of our hearts, because you may be consuming a word today that is not for today. Mm-hmm. It may be for later down the line. But then when that comes up in your life, guess what? You're going to be reminded of that truth, and you're going, oh, yeah, that's my place to stand on in this moment, right? I love those moments where God just shows up and moves. I do. We call it what? The goosebumps or whatever else. Those moments are awesome when God shows up that way. But when he doesn't show up that way, we cannot let that pull our focus from those things. So I want to share just kind of a personal story, kind of what this looks like for me personally walking this out. So again, being grounded in the word, I know that there's some truths there I see, and I'm going to stand on those truths whether I feel something or not. And so I just took a few, it's been several, over about a month ago now, but I just took some time away. I just got out of town for a minute, and I had a wonderful friend of mine gave me access to a trailer house that he has down in Quartz Mountain. And so I just put my life on hold, and I said, God, I'm just going to go seek your face. I'm just going to go spend time with you. I'm going to do some prayer and some fasting, and I'm just going to hang out with you. And I want to grow a deeper relationship with you, you know, get to know you more. And so I did that. And the first 10 minutes that I walked in and sat down, I unloaded my bags and this and that. And I went over and I sat down at the table, and I brought me a notebook. And my whole intention of this notebook, that was, I was going to hear from God and I was going to come back with this amazing stuff. You know, like, dude, God is about to just pour out his spirit on me, and I'm going to come back with all these things to take to my home group, to take to my family, you know, all of these things. And the first thing I did is I went over there and I said, God, there's four things that are on my heart right now. So I wrote them down, and I just kind of wrote question marks at the end of those. These are things that I'm just seeking direction in my life, and I wrote these things down. But in that moment, when I had wrote those things down, I just paused and I asked God, you know, I prayed to God rather, and I said, I understand the truth of your word. What your word says is that if I'll draw close to you, you'll draw close to me. If I walk away not having the answer to any of these four questions, that still remains true. I have come to draw close to you, and I know that you will draw close to me. And, you know, I see it as nothing but the Holy Spirit even speaking from my mouth in that moment. Because I sat there for 48 hours. I prayed. I worshiped. I sang before God. I went up to the mountain. I shouted. I did all of those things that just, I don't know, expressions of my love for God. And even cultivating an environment for him to express back, you know, just setting everything else aside. Not one goosebump. Not one goosebump. You know, not one moment where I just felt the Holy Spirit overwhelm my life in a way, but what I knew was the truth. And this was a place, again, because in that place, if I had not felt and I had looked at the circumstance and what I was feeling with my humanity, I could have walked away disappointed. I could have walked away in fear. I'm not hearing God. I set aside 2 days in prayer and fasting, and I didn't hear God say anything about these four questions that I wrote down, right? But it didn't move me, and that was an excitement for me even. It was a realization. It was kind of like taking the test at school, you know, and you're like, I passed. Like, I did pretty good, you know. And it wasn't a pat on the back moment, but it was rather a moment of reflection and to realize this is what it looks like in walking in maturity in Christ, to know that no matter what the situation brings or holds, it doesn't move the truth of who God is in my life. It doesn't. And what I love about that is now the testimony 4 weeks on the other side, 3 of my 4 questions have been answered. You know, that's so exciting. But had I lost my focus in the moment, I would have walked away from that defeated in complaint. And guess what? That complaint may have offset the answer that was coming. I look at that and see in the story of Exodus, and I talk about this a lot. We see Moses come in and he tells the children of Israel, you are going to be delivered. your God is going to deliver you. They were excited at first, right? They got pumped. And then guess what? Plague showed up. And what did they do in the moment of the plagues? They began to complain. Their deliverance had not changed. God's plan had not changed for their lives. But circumstances in between God's beginning and God's finish did. And they took their focus off what he said he was going to do. Because I'm here to tell you today, if God says it, he's going to do it. Right? He is not a man that he should lie. When he says it, he will bring forth his word to full completion. And we see that all through the word. We see, again, prophecies that were written thousands of years ago coming into fruition, right? We hear prophetic voices speaking today that are speaking the truth of God's word. But people are quick to get on the seats of judgment and say, well, that's not God. You must have misheard. Or what you said is not coming to pass, right? Again, those words of a prophet are not the words of that man or that woman. Those are God's words. And it is up to God to bring those to fruition. Not up to that person. Not to the man or the woman that is bringing forth the words of God's in prophecy. Right? We have to be careful in it. And this is an encouragement to the body of Christ. We have to be careful of passing judgment on those who bring forth the words of God. Mm-hmm. And I look at that in any of the fivefold ministry gifts. Sometimes there's pastors or teachers that just bring forth words of wisdom or knowledge or even prophetic words. We may not be a prophet, but we can bring forth prophetic words. We all can. Mm-hmm. We all have the same Holy Spirit, and that's where it comes from. So sometimes those things are brought forth, but people are so quick to judge. Well, that's not what it's looking like. No, but that's what God said. So hold on to that truth. Don't fear. Follow, right? When things change, when circumstance shows up in life, don't let fear come in, because that's the first thing that's wanting to arise in the flesh of who we are, is when we see a word from God. Sometimes in that moment, we do get the goosebumps, and we are excited about it, and we're holding on strong. And then guess what? Life. Right in your nose, right? Right in the kisser. Again, that doesn't make us lose our focus if we are grounded in the foundation of the truth of God's word. We have to remain faithful to God's word, and then remain faithful in our following in that, to know, God, I don't care what I see. I don't care what it looks like in front of me. I know this is the truth of what your word says, that as I plan my ways, God, you're going to direct every step. And so far, all my planning is lending me to a bum job, you know, this, that, or the other. But I trust in you, right? I'm not fearing about the failures that have came, but yet I'm following. And I'm going to follow the truth of what you have to say according to your word. And we're going to walk this thing out, and we're going to see God do amazing things in your life. The one thing that you do not have control over in any of this is the timing of it, right? And, of course, what is the most important thing in our entire lives? Time. It's all we talk about. Yeah, if I have time, if I can make time, if I, whatever, you know, it's all about time. I think the enemy uses that as one of his major devices against us, right? It's all about time. And if I even ask you, are you spending time before God in prayer or in fasting? Are you spending time with God in his word? Well, I just haven't really found the time. You know, how many times have I heard that? And one of the things that I encourage people more than anything is, you don't have time for anything. You make time for everything. And that's the thing in your life. What you choose to make the time for in your life is exactly what you will have the time for. And I'm not going to jump on some soapbox and start beating people up, but let's get real with this. How many basketball games has your child missed? How many football games, softball games, soccer games has your child missed because of just life? None. We don't pull our kids because dad lost his job at work. We don't take them out of basketball. They don't miss their games. But how many times will we not go to church and be encouraged and built up with the body of Christ because dad lost his job? Oh, we're just depressed, and we got beat up, and we're beat down, so we're just going to go hang out, close the doors, and remain inside for a little while. Again, I'm not beating you up, but let's look at the truth of this. Let's get real about what we do in our lives and the choices that we make. You have to make the time for the most important things in your life. And if your child has never missed a basketball game, but you've missed 2 months of gathering with, and I don't even care if it's in a church, but gathering together with those, the others in the body of Christ to build up and equip and encourage you, there's something wrong with this picture. We are walking in a way that's not following the example that Jesus laid out before us, right? I mean, even in those moments where we see him going to his death, right? He was well aware of what was fixing to happen. What was he doing? He was gathering with the 12 that were around him, and he was asking them to pray with him because he seen something was coming, right? And they were going through it all the way up into this place. But he was trying to continually keep their focus in what? The Father. Keep their focus on God in that moment. That's exactly what we see him doing, right? To the point that even blood fell from his forehead. Like sweat, blood came out of his body because he felt the emotion of the situation that was going on. And even if I'll even remind you, he asked God to remove that cup from him. If there be any other way, would you remove it? Why? Mm-hmm. Because his flesh realized what he was about to have to walk through, right? But yet, and this is what I love, and this is how you see the true love of Jesus for you. Nevertheless, your will. I choose your will, even over what I don't want to do right now. Again, that's an example. For me and you, there are going to be things that we go through that we come up against in life that, dude, I don't even want to do this, right? Mm-hmm. And the tendency will be in that moment to pull back, find the cave, hide out, shut the doors, right? All of those things. That's not how we see Jesus fulfill his calling that God had put on his life. He said, man, this is going to suck, but I thank you. And we have the scriptures now to stand on in that, in Philippians. I can do all things. I thank you, God, that I can do all things through your strength that's inside of me, right? So it doesn't matter what that is, whether that's loss of job or loss of finance or whatever that is, it comes in our life. We have strength from within through the Holy Spirit to now pursue, continual pursuit of God in our lives. And what does that become? It becomes our empowerment to get through the situation, right? And take a break.
Few prayer requests this morning.
Okay.
We want to continue to pray for a full recovery for Joe Pyatt. We want to continue to pray for my friend Nikki and her family. Her mom passed away early Friday morning. Okay. We want to pray for Monica's mom and sister, Eva and Renee, as they travel to Oklahoma City for a follow-up for Renee. One place from her surgery is not healing properly. There's possibly an infection. We want to pray for Kathy McCammon. She was injured in a car wreck a few months ago, and I think it was her collarbone that was broken, and she got an infection, so she's in skilled care, okay, still trying to heal from that. We want to pray for Brandon Smith and his family. His wife passed away last week, just a couple of days after having their 7th baby.
Oh, wow.
And then my friend Angela asked us to pray for her as well.
Okay. So, Father, we just lift up these prayer requests before you. And, Father, for every one of these people that just need physical healing in your body, God, again, according to your word, you have said that it was by your son's stripes that we are healed. So, Father, we just speak that forth right now in Jesus' name for Joe. And even, that's not just physical healing, Father. I just thank you that you bring us emotional stability, that you can heal our hearts and at the places that we have loss and family. Father, you are just as alive in grief as you are in joy. And Father, I thank you for that. I thank you that you are in the midst of grief just as you are in joy. And Father, I thank you that you bring us joy even in the moments of grief, Father. That would be the strength that where we can continue to pursue, continue to press on in our relationship with you and with others, Father, even at the point of losing family. Father, I do ask that you would come and bring your comfort, Father, to these families who have lost loved ones. And Father, I thank you that you have already promised, according to your word, that you put your angels in charge over us to keep us in all of our ways, Father. I thank you for that as we move about, Father, that's a promise that we can stand on, according to your word, God. Father, I just thank you in every one of these situations with Kathy, with Joe, Father, and anybody that has something physical going on, Father, that your healing just would come there and would be better than it was before even. We don't just ask for restoration to what it was. We ask that it would be better than it was before. That's how you do things, God. And, Father, I just thank you again for those that have lost. Father, my heart breaks for Brandon. Father, I can't imagine having a seventh baby and losing his wife. But, Father, I thank you that your comfort would show up right now in Jesus' name. Father, that your Holy Spirit would just come. Father, I ask for angels. Lord, your word says that they minister. They are sent to help. Father, I just ask that they would go forth and help, whatever that looks like, Father. I just thank you for that in Jesus' name.
Amen. Grandview Church is having their second annual Sisterhood Conference this Saturday, October 21st, and you can find them on Facebook. They've got all of the info and how you can get registered. The Refuge Church is now located at New Liberty at 18304 East 1140 Road in Sarah, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse, Tammy Bailey. Stay tuned, y'all. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
When life changes, you have to adjust, like downsizing your household or selling a business. When we had to do that, we called Grant's Auction and Realty. Our family has used them for two estate sales. Mike and Cindy Grant are really organized, and they lot and catalog every item. If you're a seller, that gets you top dollar on your items. And if you're a buyer, cataloged items let you study what you want and know about when they'll sell. When that time comes in your life, call Grant's Auction and Realty, 580-225-0269.
You know you need to get your oil changed, but you keep putting it off because your day is already too busy, and you don't want another interruption. We want to do something about that. Barber Dyson Ford will come get your vehicle, service it, and bring it back to you. At work, at home, anywhere. You don't even have to think about it. Just keep doing what you're doing, and we'll take care of the rest. No interruptions. Barber Dyson Ford Elk City, only at BarberDysonFord.net. Let us make your life a little bit easier.
Hello, this is Rick Spain with Spain's Construction with something to think about. When you are confronted with difficult situations, it's not the reply of the tongue that matters. It's the response of the heart. That is where the real you lives. If you use words to deal with life, they will only be as valuable as the words. If you put your heart into it, the value is multiplied. Always be ready to provide an answer, and if necessary, use words.
This is Pastor Chasten Music with Gateway Church here in Elk City. Our address is 4227 West 3rd Street, just a mile and a half past Tractor Supply. Reach us by phone, 580-225-4646. Encourage you to come and join us just as you are for any of our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. worship, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m., or Wednesday nights at 6:30 with Bible engagement. We are a church that loves people and loves God. Gateway Church, we are stronger together.
We are back. You are tuned into the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. Our guest this morning is Jason Mung, and his title is Don't Fear, Follow.
That's right.
Back to you.
Follow. All right, so I'm going to cover a little scripture. I've talked a lot. Let's get into the scripture a little bit. So I'm going to go into John 8 and 35, and I just kind of want to speak a little bit of identity and to remind you of who you are as we face maybe current circumstance or maybe those circumstances that are coming. That's one of the things that I've been talking about, you know, over the last year or so. God's just really been impressing on my heart, and I know I'm not the only one. There's big shifts that are about to come into our nation. And do we know what that looks like for sure? No. The prophetic's giving us a heads up on some of those things, and we see that according to Scripture in Amos. It says that God doesn't do a thing unless he first speaks to the voice of his prophets. Mm-hmm. And they are alive and well today, just like as they were, and we see in biblical times. I know that can become a doctrinal or theological discussion, but I'm not going to go there. Just read the truth of the word. Go to Ephesians 4 and read what it says, and it'll qualify the fivefold ministry, and it's set up today. Again, like that's one of those places, you know, even in that, like, there's going to be times that we see in disagreement with one another, even in the body of Christ. Don't let the disagreement become the biggest thing, right? Let's focus on the things that we see that are the truths of the gospel. And if we see something that we don't agree on, we'll just throw that to the side and let the Holy Spirit work it out within us, right? Right. He's the teacher. Mm-hmm. But I want to turn here. So I'll read 34, John 8 and 34. Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth. Everyone who sins is a slave to sin." And here's where I want to point out 35. "A slave is not a permanent member of the family, but a son is part of the family forever. So if the Son sets you free, you are truly free." Okay, so what I want to talk about here is that freedom in Christ, right? When you accept Christ, you walk in your sonship, and that word does encompass women too, so don't make that all masculine, right? That encompasses women too. You walk into your sonship with Christ. And as we see here, the clarity of that is a slave, someone, and we see that the picture he paints with sin in our lives, right? We were, and we understand that according to the book of Romans, we were slaves to sin. But then, through God's grace and his mercy and his love that he put Jesus on the cross, then we can accept salvation and then we can become a son in the family. And there's a difference in that when in walking, whether we choose to fear or to follow, a son becomes a part of the family, and it's very clear, it says, forever, right? And again, not getting off into theology and once saved, always saved, and this, that, and the other. Let's just take the truth of the gospel for what it says. When we come into sonship, we become a part of the family forever. But there is going to be life that still tries to show up and tries to remind you of the old, right? The slavery part of your life. And if we let that become our focus, again, then we'll allow our thinking to go there, and then the actions will come from our thinking. And they won't be bearing good fruit, because we are not identified in the sonship of who we are in Christ, but we're identifying still yet in the slavery in which we came from. That's so important. And that's one of the things that I see, you know, I've been a Christian for over 30 years now, and what I've seen in the peer groups in my life, I've walked in ministry as far as leadership when that goes since I've been in my mid-20s, so that's been in over 20 years of my life that I've even walked in leadership, and now walking in a pastoral role, I definitely get the opportunity to talk to people on the phone or have one-on-one conversations about people. And one of the things that I find consistent so much, it all goes back to the lack of identity and knowing who we are in Christ. You know, it's understanding the truth and the power that we walk in, because what we do is we'll find ourselves, and you know, I've talked about this before on here, but I see this cycle that just regurgitates over and over and over. There's a salvation moment. Then there's a way that we get off track and we start walking off in left field, and we call that backsliding, right? Mm-hmm. And then there's a moment where our heart feels tugged or pulled, and sometimes that's by the Holy Spirit, and sometimes it's just bloody condemnation showing up. And what's really sad to me is some people don't even know how to decipher those two voices, because I'm here to tell you today, if you feel beat up, beat down, and defeated, that's not the voice of God. That's the voice of condemnation. Now, will condemnation sometimes drive you back? Yes, it will. Condemnation will drive you back because you start thinking about how bad you're missing it and how pathetic you are, and you do know that